B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, July 17th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on TSN Sports Radio, including Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, Vancouver, Hamilton, Winnipeg, and Edmonton.
All at Canada.
Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, when was the last time an MMO left you awestruck? Plus, we're going to check in with our social media followers to find out what your go-to snacks and drinks for gaming are. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP. But we start today with a question. Would you pay for your kid to have esports lessons? And joining us in the studio is another one of my personal broadcast heroes, a guy that I got to work with for about a year and a half, Jello from the Jello Show on 105.1 The Bounce joins us live in studio. Man, Jello, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Hello! Oh, guys, I'm back.
So, listen, we thought it might be a little bit inappropriate for us to kind of sound off on this story because none of us
have made the mistake of having children.
Wow, none of us oversee the benefit of a small human being.
Okay? None of us have kids. None of us intend to have kids.
That's right.
We're kind of all just, well, I think Norris would probably want to have kids.
Nope. The world needs a lot more me. That's true.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, exactly.
If you think this is huge, then you should see my ego.
So Jello, we brought you in because you are a family man. You've got two kids.
True.
And we thought, you know, like, this must be a question for parents. So we thought we would ask you, would you pay for your kid to take esports lessons from a pro?
Ugh, man, you know what? Ask me this question 10 years ago, I would say hell no. But ask me that question today, and I'm going to say absolutely, man.
Really?
Absolutely. One thing I've realized with my son, who's 15, his name is Aaron. He plays video games. My daughter's 18.
Hi, Aaron.
You can go home right now. She's not working. She's probably playing Grand Theft Auto on the couch.
Nice.
But it not only does it keep them safe and at home.
Sure.
It gives us something to, like, really communicate on. Before, I didn't have a way to really, like, communicate with my kid. You know, he's a millennial. Right. He's growing up. He's girls, and he's growing hair in weird places, whatever. But we actually can have a conversation about things that we're both interested in. So if I knew that this could elevate his game and potentially bring some income into the household,
sure,
absolutely.
So the last time we had you on the program, you were kind of struggling with the way that your son Aaron was kind of spending his time.
Correct.
Right? Like, he also plays football. What grade is he in?
He'll be a sophomore, man.
A sophomore. Wow. Yeah. So, you know, you've got to balance all of these elements to have kind of like a healthy life, right?
Right.
So Where are you on that whole process? Where have you landed on the way that Aaron kind of dedicates his time?
You know what, man? I was real big on, okay, you got to focus on your education, focus on your sports. That keeps you happy, keeps you healthy.
Sure.
But I think as time continues to go on and the progression of gaming and, I mean, look what you guys are doing now, right?
Right.
Am I supposed to tell this kid, don't dedicate as much time to it now because you need to play sports or focus on your education, when I realize this could be very lucrative for him?
Sure. It's a lot harder to say. There's no future in that than it was 10 years ago.
Right. Exactly. So that's changed. It's changed drastically for me, man.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, you know, when we look at stuff, other extracurriculars throughout history, people talk about piano lessons, violin lessons, all that other stuff, where you had kids who, let's be honest, had no chance of ever, you know, being first chair at some orchestra.
Facts.
But you did it because it was a vocation.
Yeah.
It was something that, you know, kids did to broaden their horizons. But esports is one of the most international things that there is right
now.
That's true. And so I feel like, you know, from the parents that I've talked to about it, that they have a really, they're like you. They started kind of lukewarm about it, but they're starting to warm up to it because they see how many kids are doing it. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to always be toxic.
Well, because right. at the end of the day, isn't it about having your child just getting instruction at something that they enjoy doing? When I was young, my dad got me lessons in bowling because I love to bowl and I was very, very good at it. I was not going pro good at it, and I was probably never going to be pro at it, but I was good and it was something that I enjoyed doing. So, okay, well, let's get some lessons and then you'll enjoy doing it more.
And there's sort of an investment point of view as well, because, you know, the things that I wanted to be very active in growing up that I wasn't allowed to be, sports, for example, you know, I wanted to play hockey. Well, you got to invest several hundred dollars. Exactly. And it's not like the high school had a hockey team that I could have, you know, been a part of. So I've got to play travel. Yeah, there's so much investment involved, not just on my part as the child taking part in the league, but also from my parents to make sure that I'm there, that I'm there for practices and all of this other stuff. You know, esports is not a way to kind of circumvent that, but it's another way into that that doesn't weigh so heavily, not just on the onus of the parents being involved, but on the pocketbooks of the parents involved.
Well, right. I mean, depending on how far in you are already, if I mean, think of how much the console costs if you're playing on console, or
$400
or how much the $400.
Yeah.
You have any idea how hard it would have been for me to coax $400, $50 out of my mom's pocket at any, even today?
Well, but at the end of the day, what would you, and Jello, I'll ask you, what would you rather have your kid come up and say, hey, dad, I want to, you know, get good at competitive Fortnite, which I can play on my phone that I already have, or, hey, dad, I want to play goalie in hockey. Can you get me some pads and a stick? Do you know how much goalie pads cost?
Well, I mean, in my mind, I would say I wanted to play goalie in hockey, because obviously that's a kid that's going to keep him active. But
sure,
I want him to play games if he can make money. Like, dude, everything changed for me when I found out I was a kid making millions of dollars playing Fortnite.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is going on?
It's the money, isn't it, Jello? That's really what it is.
It is absolutely, positively everything about the money. Number one, why? I'll tell you why. Because you guys told me that you don't even have to be good. You don't even have to be good. So, like you said, Norris, you're talking about being actual, like an actual talent who can sing.
Yeah.
If you couldn't sing, you weren't going to make it.
But
if you can't play video games, you can still
make
money.
Well, I mean, if you find the right producer.
There's a grift in the system, sure.
If you find the right producer, you don't have to know how to sing either. But
very true.
But I get your point. But I just think it's really interesting, you know, and I want to ask you, Jello, like, if your kid is showing talent, right? Let's say he might be the next, he might be the Zion of Overwatch, right?
Right.
You know, where literally he's wiping the floor with everybody he's playing, and you watch him and you go, okay, there's something here. Do you pull him out of school? Do you stop them from, you know, participating in sort of the traditional track?
Yeah, I think
of athletics or whatever.
It's a bit different of a conversation, right? Because if Aaron came to you and said, "Dad, I want to do Fortnite instead of football."
Okay.
Right. It's a different conversation, isn't it?
And for context, there's that dad who's pulled his kid out of
high school.
Yeah, to coach him up and continue working on being a Fortnite pro. I mean, what are your thoughts there?
You know what, man? Like I said, ask me maybe 5 to 10 years ago, my mindset would have been totally different. But
hard stance.
Playing games and then seeing where games are now, to be perfectly honest with you, man, school sucks. Like, I've told my kids, like, school sucks. My whole purpose for telling them to go to school is, if I die, I want to ensure that you can properly take care of yourself.
That you can function.
Right?
That you have what society views as the bare minimum.
Exactly.
Right.
Because that's just the world we live in. You got to have a high school diploma to get a job at KFC, right? So if I knew that he can make a living off of playing games and school wasn't conducive to him getting to that level, I would pull them out.
Man, okay,
I think, and it's crazy to say that. I can't believe I'm actually saying it, but I would actually pull them out.
I mean, I think the fear, though, there is that, you know, what if the bottom falls out of it? You know, what if, because,
like,
know,
Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Are you comparing gaming to Bitcoin?
Well, but, games ebb and flow. Like, that's the thing, right, is that games ebb and flow. So Fortnite, for as popular as it is right now, might not be the game that it is
exactly
in 3 to 5 years.
And not just that, I mean, you know, the Twitch phenomenon is a somewhat recent phenomenon. Yeah. I'm a big believer in gaming content having a mass appeal and mass interest. Obviously, if I didn't, I wouldn't be doing this show. But I always do wonder, like, what happens if people find something more interesting to watch than Twitch? If they want to watch, you know, the bajillion other things that right. exist mm-hmm. out there.
Bro, remember, school is not going anywhere.
That's true.
So if the guy decides to pull his son out of school, he can always go back and get a general education, but he can always get a GED. He can always enroll into a community college, right?
That's true, yeah.
The opportunity to possibly be good at video games, we
small
don't know
window.
When the bottom's going to fall out,
yeah,
right?
Small
so
window.
Take the opportunity now.
So if your kid has already made $60,000 playing Fortnite tournaments and is now qualified for the World Cup, which
already has a check
for millions of dollars.
Jesus.
So you're saying, yeah, you're pulling him out and getting him a coach?
I would, man. My mother would disown me. His grandmother would disown me.
I was about to say, Mrs. Jello, we apologize.
No, you know what? He's bringing home $50,000 just for qualifying.
Exactly.
Even if he doesn't show up, he's still getting a $50,000 check.
If he's bringing, is this $50,000 specifically for that event?
Yeah.
And you can do
just
multiples per year?
Qualify.
Yes. Come on, man. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer.
Well, that's what we think about it, but we want to hear from you. Would you end up pulling your kid out of high school to pursue esports? Would you pay for your kid to have esports lessons? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what your go-to snack and drink is while gaming. That conversation will wrap up today. Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, got a question for you. When was the last time an MMO left you awestruck? Because I feel like, for me, it's been so long.
A minute, yeah.
That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
When was the last time an MMO left you truly awestruck? And I mean jaw on the floor, blown away with what it was able to do on a technical level. Not storytelling, technical level. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR 560 AM and 95.9 FM, as well as 103.9 in Lexington, Kentucky. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a ton of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes. And there's only one place to get them. That's over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Does anything in an MMO add up or equate to that moment that it first took your breath away, right?
Yeah.
Like, an MMO is a technical achievement, not just of game making, but also of networking.
Yeah.
And it took a long time for the genre to really kind of become its own, right? Like,
yeah.
It took a while before MMOs could catch up visually with a lot of other games, and still the networked aspects holds some of them back from looking as good as modern games. So I'm kind of curious, you know, I have a very specific moment, the very first time that an MMO impressed me with its scale, because I came from Ultima Online, I came from EverQuest, did not play a ton of EverQuest, But I feel like there's probably something in EverQuest that probably could have met this standard. But the very first time I saw something in an MMO, and I was like, wow, this world is really, truly huge, was in Final Fantasy XI and going up and seeing the Crag of Dem for the first time.
Mm. Oh. I knew
in the
it.
Distance.
I can confidently say I think we all
I think
sure.
we all
for
feel
sure.
that way.
Oh,
yeah.
For sure. But I mean, seeing it in the distance, right? Because you start off, and this was probably not the same experience that you guys had, but coming from Bastuk and into the Constant Highlands, it sends you through a series of tunnels before it opens up in this very cinematic way for a game to do, especially
one was really close to those exits.
Yeah. And you know, something that the way that it's revealed is very impressive. And you see it off in the distance at first and you go, wow, that's really cool. I wonder if I'll ever be able to get there.
You assume it's just like a background image or something.
Exactly. Yep. And then you end up walking up to it and it's literally in the same zone. It doesn't even have to load anything in. What you're seeing from the distance is the thing that character can go up and kind of touch, you know?
I always got this like ancient pyramids meet like the Taj Mahal kind of like vibe from it when I saw it.
Can I tell you what reinforced it? What really drove home how truly huge in the world that structure was? It wasn't the first time I went up and touched it. It was the first time I got on an airship and you could see them from the airship. That was just such a beautiful touch to me. Mm-hmm. There was a beautiful detail that, you know, I can recognize landmarks that I notice when I'm on the ground from in the air. Beautiful, beautiful touch.
We're talking about there is scale. I mean,
absolutely.
I remember seeing the Crag of Hala for the first time because I was coming from Sandoria.
Same.
And like, just that kind of moment where it settled in, like, because I'm used to games where, like, Ronfor, the starter zone there, would have been the whole game. That's the world map.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get down and I'm like, oh, so this is where I can teleport to if I want to come to the second zone of the game. This world's huge.
Yeah, exactly. So the question I want to ask you guys is, like, has a moment in an MMO since then, since we all kind of have the same collective moment that might be our first moment of experiencing this, is there a moment afterwards in an MMO that you've played since then that has been as impactful?
I honestly don't think it's possible, because I can point out in other MMOs sites or places that match that same description. But I feel like when it happens to you the first time, that's it. You've had that experience. You can't recreate that.
Well, and I don't think that there have been many worlds to rival the scale of something like Final Fantasy XI. I feel like every MMO I've played since Final Fantasy XI has felt considerably smaller.
Right. Even if it's technically bigger, the vastness of that world is kind of second to none.
And there's also the convenience of fast travel. That was something that you didn't have in Final Fantasy XI, that MMOs have made a pretty standard feature since then.
Yeah,
so
you could get around quicker, but you like there's no real fast travel. I mean, there was the airships to go to the cities.
Sure.
There was the telepoints to go to those specific spots. Maybe some outpost warps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did a lot of running in it.
Yeah, you did a lot of running.
But the thing for me is that, you know, I agree with you that 11 probably did scale better than almost any other MMO I've ever played. And I know you guys, and I know, Nate, you were talking about not necessarily through storytelling, but in a combination of storytelling and scale, there's an instanced mission in 14 where you have to hold a bridge. And there's literally a giant dragon, which nothing else in the game forced you to fight anything this large. And there's a giant dragon.
Steps of Faith, yes.
The Steps of Faith, instance. And you have to fight this dragon, and you have to beat it before it gets to the end of the bridge, and you lose.
Right.
And so the combination of there's a finite time behind it, between the ads, the size of the boss you're fighting, and the context of the story, I thought, wow, this game did a really great job with that particular moment.
Yes.
Is it better than the first time I saw the Crag of Hollow, the first time I got to, see, I don't know, Argon or anything?
Sure.
No.
Well, and it's not even about, because yes, obviously there are times I think through all types of games and MMOs where the moment is still great, but sure. It's never going to match up to that first time. Because, you know, once you see the giant dragon on like the Steps of Faith, for example, it's huge, but you've seen things just as big before.
I've had one moment that compared to the first time.
Really?
I was like, yes, just one. So when I was playing Star Wars Galaxies, I used to like
a throwback.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I used to like hanging around on Theed and just kind of being a punk, being around, you know, playing for the Rebellion because, hey, you know, I was young, go Rebellion, whatever.
Like punk kid?
Yeah, and I was just being a jerk, basically.
Punk kids?
Yeah, you know, you think Alliance and Horde and World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Go screw with the other side. Okay, I did not know that if it happens to be that Theed is under Imperial control, Darth Vader can show up to give the Imperials quests, and if you poke him in your Rebellion, he'll murder you.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So I'm on Theed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm on Theed like I am normally, and only this time, Darth Vader I happen to see. And I'm like, well, I mean, I got to kill Vader, right? No, I poked him one time, and he force choked me to death. You don't get to do anything, by the way, when he starts force choking you. There's no response to being force choked. You just get choked out, and you die. And it was
you lose.
Yeah, it was in that same vein of like, not because like the world was so big or grand, but I was like, I just interacted with Darth Vader in a video game in a meaningful way.
Personally came out to kill me.
Personally came and murdered me.
Because
yeah.
I was being a bad boy.
Yeah, pretty much. That's, yeah. And it was
that's pretty
that
cool.
kind of moment again.
That's
yeah.
kind of cool.
And that was about, you know, 12, 13 years ago, and I've never experienced it since.
See,
so,
now,
what we're trying to say is the best years of your lives are behind you. Give up.
Well, it's sort of like, I have you ever had like one of your cousins or like someone younger in your family show off a portion of Minecraft that they've, you know,
worked
made
on,
and invested?
That they're very proud of.
Like, I feel like that's the sort of game that could probably match the scale in Austin. Because I've seen some impressive stuff made in Minecraft.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Sure.
But since I'm not
into Minecraft,
exactly, I don't have the context for like what it took to make yeah. those things, right? So
I get that,
you know, like I feel like that's a game where you could have that same sort of moment. Because I think back to something like Active Worlds, which was a 3D chat program. Basically, this was Second Life before Second Life, and you know, some of the stuff, some of the specific worlds and servers, the stuff that people would create would really impress me.
I think the problem with Minecraft, obviously being that we're not passionate about something like that, though, but when like a kid tries to show you something that they create, is I feel like their war machine in Age of Ultron, when he's like, and then I drop the tank in front of him, boom, you looking for this? And Iron Man and Thor are like, and then what?
Is that
and
it?
He's like, no, that's
the whole
that's
story.
It.
So I've played Minecraft, so I have at least some context for how long stuff takes to build, and I've seen things that have genuinely blown me away. Like,
yeah.
like someone made a 1-to-1 scale replica or a scale model of Rapture from BioShock.
That's cool.
Someone did the same thing with Westeros.
Westeros, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, well, and that goes back to a game at least as, or well, I don't even know if it's a game, but Active Worlds was like I was still playing on dial-up internet when I was doing Active Worlds.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, is that one of the most impressive things that I remember from that was someone who had made like a replica of Nosgoth from Legacy of Kain, okay. right? Like they had the pillars and they had all of the different sections
yeah.
of the world. And it's not a particularly huge world, but I was like, holy crap, this whole thing is fleshed out really well. And so, you know, like, I don't know, like it wasn't even that, like when I look back on it, wasn't even that big, but it was something that had impressed me on that level.
Right.
Maybe because a user had done it. Maybe that's why it had impressed me.
I can see
But
it.
An MMO itself, yeah. I think, is a much more dicier proposition. Like it, I feel like my bar for being impressed in an MMO is ridiculously high.
Yeah, see, I don't know that can be captured again until like VR gets to the point.
Yeah, until you experience it
like first person. Like Ready Player One Oasis level.
No. I mean, like, because Conan, I think like stuff like Conan, you know, gets kind of close, or Ark gets kind of close to that same sort of thing, right? But like, the concept behind EverQuest Next where you're adventuring on the surface world and you take a pickaxe and you dig a hole and then suddenly you fall through and there's another layer to that world. That kind of stuff is, I think, the next way that that moves, that the way that MMOs end up moving, where, you know, sort of like Ashes of Creation.
The world is impact.
Is directly impacted by mm-hmm. the user.
Yeah.
I think that's the next step, for sure,
but will it measure up to the first time?
I think it will. I think if you could tell me that I, as somebody who, you know, wants to maybe play like a merchant style character, that I could essentially amass great wealth, literally build my own town with my own sort of political system in my town that I started becomes a commercial hub.
And it has
nothing to do with the story, has nothing to do with anything that the game is forcing me to do or experience. It is completely a user experience.
Here's the moment that's going to be as impressive is when you log into something like Ashes of Creation and you find something that is on the scale of a Crag of Dem or Mia or Hala. And you understand that is user created, that was created as a result of a year long user based campaign to build this ultimate thing in this location.
Or when you,
that's impressive.
When you log in one day and
it's gone,
the town that you've been in working out of since the beginning of the game apparently got burned to the ground overnight, not because the creators changed anything, just because that's what happened in the world.
Right now you guys are just talking about Eve.
See, that's it.
Kind of. Yeah,
you nailed it. And that's exactly what I was gonna say. Shares way more in common with Eve than it does with a lot of more traditional MMOs.
Dude, but Eve is a game that by all intents and purposes should be dead. It's complicated. It's hard to get into. It has virtually no way to bring in new people.
That's also the same reason that it's still alive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you have the people who love it. They love it to death and they continue to generate content for it. And all the developers do is just start flicking switches just to see how it can mess with the player base. That's all they do at this point. Everything else the players have created, the lore and everything around Eve is stuff that people are doing.
Yeah.
That's what makes that game special. I'm wowed by the stuff they do in Eve, and I don't even play Eve. None of us play Eve.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think that, Nate, to your point, is sort of the next phase of where...
That's where it goes. Yeah.
That's where MMOs go, is they look to that and they say, we'll give you a foundation, we'll give you sort of a blank canvas to work with. Everything else in this server has been done and created by users.
Why is Conan not considered an MMO?
Well, that's a good point.
I'm just curious.
Because it is.
Like, I mean, by all kind of like standards of an MMO, it kind of is, right? Like, why is Ark not an MMO?
I think it is. To me, it is, but I don't know.
Is that what people would call it?
Well, because then people have created that new sort of like survival.
Yeah,
sim,
I mean, remember, yeah. I mean, games nowadays, there's so many genres and themes that blend into one another that I think that people look at that more as, yes, your survival Minecraft sim. Style game, your crafting sims than anything else.
Yeah, yeah. Omega Welltown in our chat says Exiles is just sandbox survival sim.
Yeah, but what distinguishes a sandbox survival sim from an MMO?
Do massive amounts of people play online? Like,
to me, that's just a more involved MMO. That's an MMO where you have to eat to stay alive, but you also have to cook that meat as well. Like, to me, that's just the evolution of an MMO. What makes that different? What makes that game different? Like, that's a lot of words to describe what the difference is in a game that you could just call it an MMO, and to me, you're done. That's what MMOs, to me, logically end up evolving into. Mm-hmm. And it's not a different genre.
It would be an MMO sandbox survival, like if we're being real. Because obviously, Conan Exiles is not the same as Final Fantasy XIV or World of Warcraft, but those are also MMO RPGs. Again, we're just arguing about words.
It's semantics.
Here at this point.
It's semantics. Yeah. If it's server based and there's multiple people on that server and you're all playing together, unless it is like battle royale or a shooter or something like that.
But people think
it's basically, here you go. Is it a living and persistent world?
That to me counts as an MMO.
Yes,
I mean, you know, even Fallout 76 has
MMO, has
a strong MMO element.
That's MMO.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, when's the last time a genre in gaming meant anything? To be honest with you.
Roguelike.
Yeah, it's been for the last, I don't know, 15 years or so, genres haven't quite meant what they used to.
Outside of Battle Royale.
Or MOBA.
MOBAs and Battle Royales are like the two very rigidly stratified genres.
Yeah.
Right? You're right. Well, but I mean, there is obviously, as Fortnite has shown us, there is lateral movement inside of the Battle Royale genre you can do.
There is, but not that much.
Not a ton. Anyway, we want to hear from you. What do you think distinguishes the difference between a sandbox survival sim and an MMO? Please, because I really need to know. I want to win a bet.
Help them.
Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we asked our social media followers what your go-to snack and drink is, and it's probably a lot of Doritos and Mountain Dew. Stick around. That's coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's Checkpoint XP's social media question. Welcome back. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on Jack Sports Radio 1010 XL in Jacksonville and ESPN Radio 99.3 FM in Forum Myers, Florida. Make sure you visit our website at CheckpointXP.com so you can subscribe to the Checkpoint XP Daily Podcast from B-Pod Studios. Get all the same discussions and interviews featured on this very radio show as a daily Monday through Friday podcast. Subscribe at our website, CheckpointXP.com, or at BPodStudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. You can also follow us on social media. That's CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, we asked you what your go-to food, drink, snacks, all of that is for gaming. And, I don't have, a designated food.
You have food moods.
No,
it changes, right?
It does.
Yeah.
It does. It changes. But here's the thing. There are definite no's for sure, right? And I thought a lot about this because, you can't have barbecue and then go from having barbecue and playing video games, right?
Not
because you get the itis.
Well, not just the itis, but you have to full on wash your hands before you pick up a controller again, right? You can't eat anything too greasy, too saucy, right?
Yep.
Those types of moves just don't work.
I completely agree.
Wings.
What I come to the conclusion of is because I don't also just want to eat plain crackers as a snack. That's boring.
Sure. Right.
So you need something that has some flavor to it, but isn't too bad on the fingers. And for me, Goldfish crackers.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
You'll get a little bit of the salt and cheese.
Sure.
A little bit.
But you have your napkin on the side.
Exactly. It's perfectly doable. So yeah, Coke.
Cats also work well too.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, if you have a cat, right?
Yeah, sure. Because then they just clean themselves.
For me, it's chips and salsa, right?
Chips and salsa or cheese. That was my go-to for a while.
And that has the potential to go bad. But if you are
get good.
If you're a skilled gamer, listen, you have the hand-eye coordination to be able to make sure that chip hits your lip.
You don't even need the eye coordination.
No.
It's muscle memory.
Blind.
Boom, right there.
That has potential for disaster, my friend.
It does.
You're like some kind of chip. Jedi at some point.
No, but if your setup has been static for a very long time, I mean, you know where that dip is.
No, but here's the thing. The danger comes when you get halfway and below because now the chips are not reaching the optimal depth
when
you put them in, and you're getting salsa or cheese on
the
rest of
the finger.
Worst. So you know what I do? I always put whatever I'm dipping in a bowl.
I got a better thing for you. I always get at least two. I make sure I have two at a time. So once you get to the point where it's too low, you just add what's left of the dip into the new one.
That's
very smart.
I like that.
Very smart.
I'm actually a little embarrassed about my most recent go to because I feel like it's real pedestrian. It's just like the Tostino's.
I said goldfish crackers.
I know you're pretty basic too, but I feel like it's Tostino's like pizza rolls.
Pizza rolls
See,
are great.
Too hot and greasy.
That's so basic.
Well, I mean, know, but here's the worst part. I don't take the time to oven bake them. I throw them in the microwave. Sorry,
gross.
Guys.
That's disgusting.
That is gross.
And then I just go with, I usually just drink a Coke.
See, now for me, it depends on what I'm playing. You're
about to get
saying?
Super bougie, guys.
Yeah, it depends on what I'm playing. Now, if I'm playing something fairly quick, Battle Royale, first person shooter, I too keep it quite pedestrian. Just straight up original Lay's potato chips. Just the plain Lay's potato chips. Because I can bam, bam, bam.
Oh, right. They can get a little greasy. They can get a little
dip
greasy.
Them.
No. Crack open the family size bag and we ready to roll.
Yeah.
Now,
potato chips don't necessarily need any dip.
If I am playing, you know, the RPG or something that I know I'm going to be,
here it comes. He's going to bust out like the hummus cups with zucchini and tomato.
No. I have a selection of at least three different wines that I like to choose.
Oh, for crying out loud.
That you're
going to
pair with the mini spinach artichoke potato skins?
Well, no, not necessarily. Skins are a good one, but I have a wine that I particularly pair with Bucharest curly fries.
Come on.
I swear
you do
to God.
Not have a wine that you pair with Bucharest curly fries.
I surely do.
That
is,
I believe it.
That's ridiculous.
I surely do.
Now, real quick before we move on here, throwbacks, right? Pop-Tarts for anyone? Pop-Tarts.
Heck yeah.
Oh, when I was a kid, I haven't done it in a long time. But
Pop-Tarts and vanilla Pepsi.
Ooh.
That's a good. What flavor Pop-Tarts?
Vanilla Pepsi. Raspberry?
Raspberry? It's
yeah.
That's
raspberry?
Brown sugar.
Yeah.
Brown sugar cinnamon.
I did those a lot, too.
Cinnamon.
Yeah. Yeah. And then another one, cereal. Like cereal?
Just cereal in a box?
Yeah.
Straight out of the box?
Not out of the box, but I mean just
cereal.
Oh, yeah. Just cereal.
In any incarnation.
I'm telling you, old school playing FF11, you're in the chair, box of cereal, one-handed FF11, other hand eating cereal, man. That's how you do it.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently going over our social media question for this week. We were asking you what your favorite snacks and drinks are when you're gaming. We're going to get to your responses here in just a second, but we've got to ask Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic, what is your go-to snack while gaming?
Mine's very simple as well. It really also depends on the game I'm playing. And I did this recently. If it's a game with a lot of dialogue and just a lot of simple clicking, not major gameplay, I definitely go back to chips with French onion dip.
Okay. All right. That's okay.
If it's something with a bit more action to it, I go for popcorn. Because I really
Oh, okay.
Like
popcorn. Yeah. Popcorn's good.
Oh, I forgot about Hot Pockets.
Oh, yeah. Hot Pockets.
And no matter what I'm eating, it's always with apple juice because I'm a child.
You can't.
Yeah, you are a little baby.
The only thing about popcorn is you can't have it too buttery.
Yeah.
Like, if you get, like, the super butter popcorn, that's awful on your controller.
Or, like, the cheddar popcorn.
I like the white cheddar popcorn, but it gets... It
dust.
Really does get
the
messy.
The cheddar dust. Yeah.
All right, let's check out what, some of the responses that we were getting in over social media.
Over on Facebook, we have Kevin, who says, the snacks has to go to some frozen fruit. As for the drink, Dr. Pepper all the way, if I don't care about sugar. But if I am concerned about my sugar, it'll be flavored water or some orange Gatorade Zero.
Who says fruit and is monitoring their sugar that closely, you workout fanatic?
Who drinks Gatorade Zero?
Not
one. I didn't know they still made that.
Legitimate human being. That person lives in Area 51.
You're a unicorn.
Yeah.
We have Jean-Paul who says, Spitz and coffee both help keep me awake and gaming longer.
Spitz?
What is Spitz?
What is Spitz?
I don't know
what Spitz is, but that's got me worried. I don't like that one. Yeah. Keep going.
Gross.
We have Steven who says, whatever the opposite of carb loading is, lots of frozen chicken tenders. And to confirm, I do heat them up first, unlike some people.
All right. So this is concerning a quick Google search. Spitz is a type of domesticated dog.
I don't like that. It must be something else, right?
It's got to be something different.
Yeah, I hope.
I hope so, too.
We have Edison who says, Flamin' Hot Cheetos and quick tip. If you are proficient at using chopsticks, use them to pick up your Cheetos. It allows you to take in all that spicy goodness while keeping your fingers and equipment away from all the dust and oil.
That's
what we're
master
talking
tier.
About
that is
when we say
tier.
Get good at snacking.
Get good.
Oh, my gosh. Holy
that is,
cow.
That is some
pro.
Next level. That is some next level thinking right there.
Over on Twitter, we have Davenport Esports who responded. They said that their head coach says water or coffee and probably some sort of cookie or chip if available. But the players say that it must be water, zero-calorie energy drink, or a gamer drink, such as G Fuel or Gamer Sups, are approved. Preferably a healthier snack to eat.
I don't want to go to Davenport.
That's what it sounds like to me.
I think the coach isn't pulling his, doing his part, is what I got to say here.
There's a distinct lack of Doritos and Mountain Dew on this list.
Davenport players, if you guys are in trouble, blink twice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Over on Facebook, we have, I have to do these three in a row. Clarence says Kirkland Purified Water. Okay. And then we have Nathan, who says whiskey, and Kim, who says vodka.
I mean, that's your drink. What about your snack?
No, that's just that, it.
No, that's it. You're snacking on vodka.
There you go. All right.
It's potatoes.
Listen, we want to hear from you. Make sure you connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to next week and every week's social media question. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP. For more info on the show, links to articles in the Checkpoint XP podcast, then head on over to CheckpointXP.com. Make note of when you're catching us on your local radio station like 101 Sports in St. Louis or WOKR 1310 in Rochester, New York. And remember to come back next week for more video game news and discussion. Join us Monday through Friday live at 4 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk. And, of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Lee Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.